Oh, okay, that's fine. Good morning. Okay, that was really very good. It's so nice to be here with you. I spend most of my year, as you know, in Nicaragua, 8 months a year now. I used to only spend 1 month in the U.S., but now I have grandchildren. You can relate to that. So I spend 4 months here. But it also gives my team there that I've trained and I've nurtured and that has grown a chance to try to run things on their own. And that was our original idea, that the project should be in their hands. And we'll see how it goes. When we listen to today's messages, we're hearing a message from the Old Testament where the law of God is being just ready to be presented to the people. And a lot of people think of the commandments as a whole list of rules. But actually, if we look at it, it's a treasure map. And that's pretty exciting. It's a treasure map because it teaches us how to live a life that would be free of conflict, chaos. If everybody in the whole world lived by that treasure map, we would have peace. We would have a lot of things that we don't have. So rather than being a burden to us, it's a gift from God. And what does it address? Not to oversimplify, but it addresses basically two things. What is our relationship with God, and what is our relationship with our fellow man? So then you see the Pharisees, and Christ is calling them because they've made man-made laws, their tradition. And it's not that these laws are bad. Washing your hands is a pretty good idea. You know, washing your things that you bring from the market, yeah, you know, we can get that. But what they did is they put that tradition in man-made laws above God's laws. In God's laws, it's about two things. It's about God and your fellow man. Traditions, it's all about me. Me, 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 me. So God's calling us to something greater, and Jesus calls them at that when he says, you are hypocrites, because it says, add nothing and delete nothing. Well, they had so many laws added, you didn't know how far you could walk on a Sunday and if you could get a cup of cold water or not, or if that was work. Very confusing. How I see our relationship with our fellow man, and this I think I've learned from my experience living with the poor, is that we are meant to be woven together. As we're woven together, one string, one individual, we all have our weaknesses. That's the nature of man. But when we're woven together, the strengths and the weaknesses that we have are supported by all those people around us. And it makes a tapestry. It makes a material that is much more durable than an individual in their strength. What I have learned from the people in Nicaragua is huge. I have received 10 times more than I have given. They have taught me what true faith is. When you don't know if you're going to have food tomorrow, but you have some tonight, and you're going, praise God for this food that's on our table tonight. Living in gratitude, living with happiness and celebration of what they do have, rather than seeing that cup half empty and focusing on what they don't. What happens if we only have strings going all in the same direction? If we only look from our viewpoint or whatever, we don't have anything except fringe. It might look nice, it might be a little nice addition to our apparel, but it has no substance, it has no purpose, it does nothing. So it's very important for us as God's people to be inclusive, to include all people, so that we don't just go off on our own tangent and perhaps into materialism, perhaps chasing our wants, and that we include all peoples. That's what gives us structure and texture. There are a lot of people in the world, 1.1 billion, who live without basic needs. And I know that's hard for us to understand, that people don't have clean water, don't have bathrooms, don't have enough to eat, don't have clothes, don't have shelter. Even education is very mediocre in third world countries. Health and dental care are not taken for granted. In Nicaragua, dental care involves a public dentist who only has a pliers. And if you want anesthesia, you have to pay extra. So our idea of opening a dental clinic is so needed in that country. Safety, justice, things that we kind of take for granted. It usually takes, if you would call the police in my area, it will take them about 2.5 hours to come, if they come at all. So we have to really be looking at those things and to make those within our community. Okay, when we look at God's law and how we relate, this is a group from Concordia who comes down, and they work with our disabled students. There isn't much available to our disabled students in the country because basically they can't afford a bus to go to the city for the therapies that they need. So this little guy is Nelson, and Nelson was born with cerebral palsy. He has a problem with a lot of drooling. We have fought not only to rehab these kids, but to send them to school. But again, we have a lot of work to do. Education, education, education. What happened when he went to school as a first grader is his teacher was beside herself. She's not used to dealing with disabled kids. And he has that terry cloth thing in his arm to wipe his mouth. But he didn't have that, and he was drooling all over. So what she did is took a piece of duct tape and closed his mouth. And I know it's like, how could a human do that? But it was ignorance. I really believe it was just ignorance. She didn't know that that could possibly have killed that child. So I went to the head of the school system, and she said, tell me who that teacher is. And I said, no, because it isn't her failure. It's the system's failure. If you're going to have these people take care of these kids, they've got to be prepared for it. And we can help be part of that process as far as preparing those teachers for it. Joy. You know, God talks about having joy. And we as Christians, you know, if you see Christians who are downhearted and, you know, don't ever have a smile on, something's got to be wrong. You know, we have a God who created us. We have this beautiful world that we live in. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have some problems, that we're not going to have some tough days. But how can you think of being so loved that God would send his son to die for us, to redeem us? And how can you not have joy to be loved that much? You know, if we have no joy, then we better look at what's that about. Because God intends us to be joyful and thankful and have gratitude for all we've been given. I have learned such joy in Nicaragua. Those people don't have much, but you will see them just smiling and grateful for the smallest things, celebrating every day. And it's not because they don't know better. It's because they do know better, that everything is a gift from God. So when the lights go on, which isn't all the time, they are thankful. When they have food in their table, they are thankful. They have really taught me so much about joy. Okay, hello, I'm miserable. I'm reading a book right now, which is The Paradox of Generosity, and I encourage some of you to just take a look at that. And basically, it's a book that scientifically proves in studies that people who are generous are happy. Duh. We know that. We know that if you had $100 to spend on yourself, you'd feel good. But if you had $100 to spend on somebody else, you'd feel better. So this is a study that really shows that. And the interesting thing is the root word for miserable is miser. So miser means miserable. Have you ever seen a happy miser? I don't think so. Scrooge? Well, eventually he was, though. So yeah, it's a correlation. And it doesn't just have to be money. It can be volunteering. Look at those sign-up sheets out there of us getting involved in the community and being a relevant congregation of Christians reaching out. It's volunteering. It's being neighborly. It's checking on the elderly person next door to make sure that in that 95-degree weather that she's okay. It's maybe sharing some of those extra vegetables in your garden for people who are trying to make it through on Medicare. It's many ways that we can do that. But it's important for us to reach out and to be generous of our time and of our heart to other people. These are some of the things that we face there. This is a baby in ICU. Doesn't quite look like our ICU, does it? There's a tank of oxygen for every two babies. And this baby doesn't have a sheet on the bed. They don't even have gowns to put on the children. As a result of visiting the hospital in this crisis, this was during one of the epidemics when they were so overwhelmed they ran out of everything. But as a result of that, we donated sheets to the hospital. We donated materials so that they could make gowns. So we are able to make some small changes. It is huge, but you just take one step at a time. This is a child, you can see her back teeth are gone. Most of our children, we don't have fluorinated water. Most of the kids don't have toothbrushes. They don't know about dental hygiene. The clinic that we're going to build will help improve the dental health of the people in our village, that we can actually save teeth at times. Not all the time, but at times we'll be able to save teeth. This is another little girl. This is my Hennessy, and she's walking. They told us, isn't a chance that this child would walk. When I first started our program for disabled kids, and it's largely supported by Concordia College, that their OT and PT come down. We started with five kids, and they said none of them would ever walk. Don't bother. Don't waste your time and money and effort. All five are walking. One's playing baseball. So this is one. They said never. She will never walk. Well, she's walking, and she's going to school. This is an oven, and we built this oven with our hands. And you can see that there's kind of ceramic tiles that we're using there. And we all also use adobe, which is mud and other organic substances. So basically, we built 20 of these ovens, and we put them in the communities where it's more single head of household people so that they can watch their kids and they can bake, not only for their families, but to sell. So each one of those ovens serves about five people. So those 20 ovens, that's 100 people that have access to something they can do to help themselves. Okay. It's like, this is the clinic, and the clinic has been running for 13 years now. When we opened the clinic and trained the healthcare workers in our area, we eliminated pneumonia as a cause of death. We used to lose four kids a year. We have not lost one child due to pneumonia in 13 years. So we know what an impact that's having. We just did a survey because the number of people coming to the clinic has been slowly decreasing. So we said, are the services good? Do you get the meds you want? Are you treated well by the people? Are we good with your confidentiality? All of those things. And the last thing was, why don't you use the clinic more? 95% of the responses were, we don't use the clinic more because we don't get sick as often. So we're having a major impact on health maintenance in the area. This is a water project, and this, again, isn't something we initiated, but we work with people who come to the area. So this is a group of people who have a filter. It's the same filter that they use for people with chronic renal disease, for their dialysis, and it filters water. We had this container of water, and they put like 2 cups of dirt in it, and it mixed it up. And then we filtered that off, and it was crystal clear, and everybody drank the water. Nobody got sick. So this is amazing for these people to have this. So this is 20 of the people that we help organize and get together to be benefactors from this clean water project. This is our service with joy, and it's wonderful when our delegations come down. We try not to put more than 24 people in the truck. Actually, we really try to put less than that, but it has happened. But these are the students, the OT and PT from Concordia, and you can just see the joy in them and the celebration. They have learned how wonderful and how true happiness is giving, and they are just a joy to have. This is one of our schools. It's improved right now. They actually have a floor and some walls. But all of the kids that you see in the white shirts, those are our students. We have 178 kids being sponsored. This year, not all the sponsors were able to continue or for other reasons that we didn't cover all of our kids this year. And the concern is that what happens when a child is in first grade, they're invited to come to our classes. And then after 1 year, then they get their stuff. Then they get 2 uniforms and shoes. Before that, they get a little nylon backpack with what they need to do their classes. But we don't give them the stuff until they've proved themselves that they want to go to school and that they want to study. This will be the first year that perhaps we have to turn away those second graders, and that will break my heart. So anybody interested in assisting with that, it would be forever grateful. These are the things. This year's goals is to build our dental clinic, and I've already addressed that, and it is so important. We're more than halfway to our goal. We're really doing well. And we've got some other partners out there helping us as well. But we're going to go ahead with the clinic, and we'll be starting to build that this fall. The other thing is sponsoring all our students. We still have some left that hadn't been sponsored. And before we're able to accept the new ones, we have to have the ones who've been in the program sponsored. So if anybody's been thinking about it or whatever, Jeannie? Oh, Jeannie there. Jeannie Dries. And she will be around, so if you are interested, definitely let her know. And this is not an immediate need, but we're looking at a new truck. We have 200,000 miles on ours, and it goes over roads that you would not believe. So we kind of are optimistic, thinking maybe we could do that this winter. So, okay. But you're all part of this. Grace has been amazing, probably 50% of our functioning budget. And it takes, we do all that we do, and this is only a little bit of it. Come the 27th and get the whole picture. But we do all this for about $40,000 a year. So it's amazing how many lives that we touch. Everyone in our village has been touched in some way by our program. And you're part of it. That joy is part of it. And that joy should be in your heart, knowing that you're part of that. This is the last picture I have. This is a picture of one of the houses of one of my students. And it's approximately 15 square feet. Not 3,000, not 5,000, about 15 square feet. And I want you to keep that memory in your mind. I want the Holy Spirit to fire in you to keep the poor in our minds as we make our decisions in life, so that we can have all of God's people woven together with enough. I ask the Holy Spirit to come down upon this congregation, to open your eyes and open your hearts. Let His word be the first word in our hearts and in our actions. In your name we pray. Amen.